2110 S preliminary plat and 2135 design review for Hazel Crest subdivision. You'll have to help me here.
Thank you, Commissioners. For the record, Troy B. Hunan, Senior Planner, 751 West 4th Street here in Kuna. Just as a recap, this is a continuation of the meeting that we held in July. At that meeting in July, the commission requested a couple of changes to the preliminary plat. The commission requested that the northwest cul-de-sac be changed to a lower zoning, which the applicant has complied with. The commission also requested that the central triangular area also have a lower density, and the applicant has requested that as well. The updated changes to the preliminary plat are in your packet and on page 2, and they begin with 2.55 exhibit and 2.56, 57, 58, 59. To say the least, they have revised their narrative. They have revised their legal descriptions for the R4, R6, R12, and the C1 zones. They have revised the preliminary plat and landscaping plan. And the applicant is here tonight if there's any questions. And staff will sit here if you have any questions for staff. And I would like to remind the commission and also the audience that we will be opening up the public hearing. However, we ask, just a reminder that any testimony or any questions be limited to the changes that were requested. So this is not an opportunity for new questions or new concerns. It's just limited to the changes that the commission requested. And with that, I would sit for any questions that you might have.
No questions.
Thank you.
So do we move to the applicant now? Okay, could we have the applicant come forward? Give us your name and address, please.
Jaden Schneider, PO Box 8525, Boise, Idaho. I'm the applicant working on behalf of the developer, and I just want to start again by thanking staff and all the members of the community that came out and the comments and concerns, and hopefully we've met all the conditions and things that people would like to see come forward. I just wanted to start off by addressing a comment that Commissioner Clark had made last meeting about street widths, and apologize, there was definitely confusion. Your comment about the street width was totally justified in suggesting that it was a reduced street width shown. That was shown on the schematic drawing of just the detail, saying that it was a 33-foot section, and that is my fault. It showed a 33-foot section in the cross-section view of that specific portion. The street widths and everything being designed to it met the full 50-foot, 36-foot curb-to-curb standard. And that's exactly where the commission went, or the confusion went. And that's on me for telling you that, hey, we met the standards, because you were totally justified in suggesting, hey, this doesn't meet it. And then I fired back, no, it does. My fault on that, totally.
No worries.
Perfect. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
So,
appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, as Troy mentioned, we basically just updated the site, and we're happy to update the site to try to meet the commission's requests. And so what we've done is made the Firefoot Court area, which is this northeast corner, now that R6 zoning, R4 zoning, which matches the lot lines to the north, which is in that, I think it's Gran Parado States subdivision, if I remember that name correctly. And what we've also tried to do is, as best we could, the lot lines are just maybe the tiniest bit off, but we've tried to match those lot lines as best we could. We were just trying to meet the lot size minimum, so that's why there's a little bit of a meet there. But basically, we just tried to make mirror the north onto the south so that people that are already living in that subdivision only have one neighbor in their backyard, and it's very simple and very clean and just looks good there. And then, as Troy mentioned, in the interior portion of the site, where we had 16 townhomes, we just reduced that down to the 11 single-family units, just as suggested for that new zoning. And overall, I hope that meets any concerns or answers any questions or helps with the public understand what we're trying to do. But I'd be happy to go into it further if there's any further discussion on it. But hopefully it's just a very simple change, and the developer was happy to make it, and I was happy to supply it for you. So with that, I'll be happy to stand for any questions.
Any questions for the applicant?
No, I think our primary concerns were addressed.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Open the public testimony. Okay, we'll open the public testimony at 6:11 p.m. It looks like we have Beverly Wolf to testify. Could you give your name and address, please?
Yeah. Thank you. My name is Beverly Wolf, 3420 West Commemoration. So this is going to be in my backyard. A couple of things. I'm concerned about so much of the safety aspects of it, even with the change of the density, because as it was even noted by a commissioner, there's only one access point, one access road into this. And if I understand it correctly, it's at Memory Way. Memory Way has what's considered, I believe, a site distance issue, because as you approach Memory Ranch to turn left off of Westlake Hazel into Memory Way, if you're not careful, you can be hit by oncoming traffic. So I'm wondering how you make that such a busy intersection without being able to have the line of sight. Are you going to put a street light there? I don't understand. I also asked before about the Public Works change, that the letter from Public Works on May 2023, so I think this still applies because it's still a sewer line issue. Magically, on the 18th, you had the EDUs, but also on July 18th, there had been a resolution with the city council to claim eminent domain against a farmer to lay that sewer line, and I don't understand how it's allowed to approve a development so that you can turn around and claim eminent domain on someone's property for a sewer line. My last issue is safety, also from the fire district. The last time they reviewed this plat was in 2021, and there was no record I could find that they looked at the current plat with only one road of access, even though you're planning a fire lane. And I asked this question before, which school district? You got the approvals from West Ada, but even on their plat, they've said CUNA School District. So who's paying for that? I'm one of the taxpayers in CUNA. So I just want to know. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Delaney Gavlik on the list. You say you do not want to testify, is that? Thank you. Okay, and with that, do we bring the applicant back or close the public testimony? Okay, would the applicant like to address those issues?
Jaden Schneider, P.O. Box 8525, Boise, Idaho. Thanks to Beverly Wolf for bringing those comments and concerns forward. For the safety of the one access, I would just go back to the point that ACHD reviewed and approved the new layout with the singular access, and it wasn't our intention to build one access point, but this is the ACHD strict distance and separation on the primary arterial road that we have here. So ACHD has given their approval, and that just happened last month, or I think believe in June now. So we feel confident with that. I don't quite have the answers to the sewer question in regard to the eminent domain. I apologize for that one. So I don't have a direct answer to that. The fire district did approve the singular access. We sent that to them in the middle of July after the updated plan. The fire department, the fire chief did review it, provide his comments, and said that it was approved. I believe that would be in the updated packet, and I apologize if Beverly wasn't able to find it, but I'd be happy to email it or provide it from my own email, just because I do have a copy of that approval. And then Beverly was correct. The school district that was originally shown on the plat did say the CUNA School District, and that was a mistake. It is the West Ada School District. This plat that has just most recently been submitted and is in front of you does correctly state the West Ada School District, who's provided their comments and did not have a recommendation against this subdivision. So, yeah, I appreciate Beverly's comments. I really hope that that's answered her questions for it, and hopefully there's no issues involved with those specific comments, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Close. Are there any questions for staff?
Would you, Troy, you want to explain the sewer and the eminent domain?
No, the staff has no comment on that at this time.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? No. Okay, with that, we'll close the public testimony and go to our discussion.
The only statement I have, the development is established with access to the west for future development. So ultimately, I'm hoping that this doesn't become, it won't be an issue any longer. But that's. It's leaving the problem for the future. But with the revisions that were done, everything was accounted for. The developer and the engineer made the changes we requested.
Yeah, I think that they did what we asked, so I don't have any other issues. And as far as access, you do what ACHD tells you. So.
Right, I agree. I think that what we requested them to do and what they did is in line with what we requested. And I think those are the only issues we can actually comment on tonight. So with that, go for a motion. With that, I'll stand for a motion.
All right. I move that we approve.
Recommend.
That we approve case number 2114AN annexation, 2101 CPM comprehensive plan, map amendment, 2110S preliminary plat, and 2135DR design review for Hazelcrest subdivision.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Commissioners?
I will need a separate motion for the design review as you're the decision-making body on this.
Ah.
I move that we approve the design review for 2135DR design review for Hazelcrest subdivision.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. With that, we'll move to item B, case number 23-09-SUP, special use permit, 866 East Grant Bear in-home daycare.
All right.
Bear with me as I wear a couple hats here. Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Applicant requests approval to operate an in-home daycare for up to six children, Monday through Friday, from 7:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at 866 East Great Bear. The applicant has provided various areas within the home for their daycare, and the backyard is equipped with age-appropriate play structure and table. The applicant has passed their required background check, holds state-required certifications, and has passed their fire safety inspection. In the future, the applicant may increase the number of children based on the fire safety inspection, but at that time she will come back for a modification for this special use permit. Upon review, staff finds this request to be compliant with CUNA City Code 5-6, Idaho Code 3911, and IDAPA 16.06.02. Staff would therefore recommend the commission approve case number 23-09-SUP, with the applicant being subject to the conditions listed in the report. And I will answer any questions you may have this evening.
Any questions?
No.
No. Is the applicant present?
Would you like to speak, Lindsay? Okay. We won't open.
So we can open the public hearing. For case 23-09, special use permit for the 866 East Great Bear Street in-home daycare, and we have no one listed to testify. So is there anyone that would like to testify? Okay, then we'll go ahead and close the public testimony. And any discussion on our part?
No, I think it's one, great that they actually come to the city and want to officially license. And knowing this neighborhood, because I drive by it every day, I really like the idea that there's only six kids. But I appreciate that them, the applicant, going through all the work to officially get a city license.
I agree. I think that the fact that they've gone through all, jumped through all the hoops and have satisfied all those, and the fact that I think in the current situation that we're in, that daycares are pretty critical. I know that some people are actually trying to find daycares, and it's a difficult process. So with that, I'll go ahead and close our discussion. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I recommend we approve case number
23. Full approval.
Full approval. Case number 2309 SUP at 866 East Great Bear in home daycare.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion pass. Thank you. And with that, we will move to public hearing for case number 23-10-SUP, special use permit, 2929 North New Morning Avenue in-home daycare.
Hello again, commissioners. For the records, Jessica Reed, associate planner, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. Applicant requests approval to operate an in-home daycare for up to 12 children at 2929 North New Morning Avenue, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., which are hours rarely offered. The applicant operated a daycare within the city of Boise within the last few years and has since moved to CUNA. As such, she maintains her required certifications and has cleared an updated background check. Child care is to be provided on the main floor per Idaho code, and the applicant has recently completed landscaping of their backyard. Upon review, staff finds this request to be compliant with CUNA City Code 5-6, Idaho Code 3911, and IDAPA 16.0602, and would recommend approval 23-10-SUP, with the applicant being subject to conditions listed in the staff report. I will answer any questions.
Thank you. Is the applicant present? Okay. Are there any other people who would like to testify? Oops, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We'll formally open the public hearing.
Yeah.
Could you state your name and address, please?
Kyle Black, 2965 North New Morning Avenue. While I agree with some of the situations you mentioned in your omission there about a need for child daycares, there are adverse effects to other folks. Liquidity factor, for one, on homes that are located adjacent to the property in question. Disclosing that at point of sale, if somebody were to sell their home, that could be a major point of contention for a buyer. So you can see how it affects liquidity. We have a lot of concerns about the daycare. I'm not sure if it's right here for this for planning and zoning, but we are aware that, is it Idaho code or the city of CUNA that requires advisement via local newspaper, things like that?
Advertisement?
Yeah. So I know that, I'm sorry, what's your name? Rama? Yeah. Rama didn't make the general area aware via the newspaper, so whatever code that falls under, that would be our only point of contention with doing things the right way, as you had mentioned.
That it?
That's it.
Thank you. Any other one want to testify? Come on up. Name and address. Thank you. Go ahead and give us your name and address, please.
My name is Josh. I live 2949 North New Morning, right next door. I guess my approach to this is a little bit different. I understand, you know, people got to make a living, stuff like that. I get that. The 12 kids is where, I mean, that gets a little, you know, outrageous, I guess. The 6 is understandable. But that's my house. You know, we got other people, other neighbors that are living there. We come home after work. I don't want 12 kids running around, you know, 12 cars parked, or I shouldn't say parked, people constantly parking in front of the house, in front of her house right next door. For example, like, my wife's pregnant. She's due in November. We have dogs. Every single time someone pulls up, they bark, which, again, it's my dogs, they bark. I understand that. At the same time, if you have up to, you know, 11, 12 cars coming, pulling up, them barking, my wife's pregnant, kids trying to sleep. I guess that's my, that and the 8 a.m. to the 10 p.m. Again, I understand, got to make a living. I don't think the daycare is the worst thing, like you guys said. I agree with you. But up to 12 kids and up to 10 p.m., even if they're not there all the time, there's still people coming to pick up their kids at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. It causes a disruption for, you know, us, for neighbors next door, people down the road. Unfortunately, it's not something we knew when we bought the house, that obviously that was going to be happening. It's a tough situation. Nothing against kids, nothing like that. It's just hard to have a house next to a 12-kid daycare right next door. You know, our backyards are not that big. We can hear screaming, we can hear yelling, all that stuff. So that's my only complaint.
Thank you. Any other one? Anyone else like to testify? Okay, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing.
Sir, you've already testified. There's no opportunity to testify further, unfortunately. Yes, correct. Yes. If you guys would like to make or ask questions to staff or anything prior, we'll need to leave that public hearing open.
Okay. Then I will reopen the public hearing. Are there any questions for staff?
The one question I do have, on the original neighborhood meeting certification from June 11th, I apologize. It's stated here that the permit was for six or fewer children. Was that what was stated at the original meeting? And what is the current permit requesting again? I heard 12.
Just a moment. That is correct, Commissioner Clark. That was discussed at six children.
Okay. And is that still the request?
It's up to 12 maximum. It's based on the square footage requirement through Idaho Code and ADAPA. It's during that fire inspection that the fire marshal will determine the exact amount of children that could be permitted there.
Okay.
Many times than not. Excuse me, more times than not, it's not quite 12.
Okay. Now, looking at this, the actual SUP application does state 0 to 6. So that's in line. Okay. Other questions for staff? Regarding the Idaho statute, what's the statute in question and what has been done?
So with the public hearing item, it requires notification in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. We voluntarily put it on our website, and a mailing notice is required to go out to property owners within 300 feet. That's state code. Those were followed. I have a proof of publication from CUNA Melba News. It was posted on the city website. It was also posted through Idaho Press online. And there is exhibit 2.18, 2.19, and then exhibit 2.20 is the copy of the mailer that was sent out.
Okay. So those were satisfied.
Any further discussion?
Ryan asked the questions I needed to know.
Okay. I understand the need for daycare. I also understand being a neighbor.
Do we want to close the public hearing?
Oh.
Or are we good?
If there are no further questions for staff, then yes, please, before you proceed into deliberation.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing. I appreciate your patience. So I understand the need for daycare, and I also understand how neighbors can affect your property. You know, in this case, I don't see a problem with the daycare facility. I can see an issue with possibly that number of children. However, if we approve it up to six children, where does that leave us? Does it go back to the state as far as the number that they can have?
She is permitted per CUNA City Code to request up to 12 children as an in-home daycare. That final number will be determined during the fire safety inspection from the fire marshal based on state code. However, if she is meeting the requirements as set forth in CUNA City Code, there is no basis for denial on that number.
Okay, thank you.
Well, my understanding, though, is, I mean, based on the SUP application is specifically 4-0-6. That is a checkbox on here.
I'm sorry, sir.
Is that not true?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you completely, sir.
I'm sorry. So the SUP application was specifically for 0-6 children. That's actually on the SUP application. So I think we're covered as far as the number of kids go. I understand that there's potential for up to 12 per fire code, but that would be a further special use permit, if I'm reading this correctly.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. So, I mean, we're only talking about up to six kids. So, I mean, I totally get the concern with potentially having 12 in a home next door.
So if the applicant wishes to keep up to 12 children, you could table this to a date further for re-noticing.
Does the applicant want up to 12 children?
Okay. So I heard a yes. With up to 12 children, I would want to see an updated application. Because this SUP only approves up to 6. What do you think?
So I guess we could go ahead and approve for up to 6.
Okay.
And if the applicant wants to move it to 12, they would have to come back. Okay.
Commissioners, Kelsey Briggs, City Attorney White Peterson, 5700 East Franklin. Based on the content and the noticing that went out to the public, I would say altering the parameters of that special use permit today. Prefer we would maybe table it to another date so that we can work with the applicant and staff to make sure that we have the record established and have it matching what the public has been informed in advance of the meeting.
Thank you. So with that, I'd stand for a motion.
Okay, I would move that we table case number 2310 SUP to a date certain August 25th, or do we want to just leave it open? August 22nd?
August 22nd.
August 22nd.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. We'll move on to case number 23-11-SUP, special use permit for Meta Communication Towers.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The applicant is requesting special use permit approval to install two communication towers, which are 50 feet tall by 4 feet wide, galvanized steel lattice structures, and house public safety, land mobile radio, and cellular equipment. Both towers and their fall zones are located entirely within the Meta Data Center property boundary. The towers are not lit, nor do they include strobes. The towers are designated to TIA 222H code as structure class 3 and can withstand up to 108 mile per hour winds. Staff has determined the applicant's special use permit is in compliance with CUNA City Code Title 5, the Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code. Staff recommends the commission approve the special use permit, with the applicant being subject to the conditions of approval listed in the staff's report, as well as any additional conditions designated by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I will stand by for any questions.
Any questions for staff?
Once I get this exhibit on my screen at the right size and fully loaded.
I have one question, Doug. I think you commented that the towers would not have lights or strobes. Is there anything required by the FAA on that?
This would have had to be reviewed by the FAA if it reached a certain height threshold, but no, I do not believe that was a requirement. The applicant is here this evening, and they may be able to answer that more specifically for you as well.
I have no questions.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and have the applicant come if he's present.
Hello, my name is Susan Devine. My address is 1405 Promontory Road, Boise, Idaho. And I am here on behalf of the applicant tonight to answer any questions that you may have about the communications towers. To the question about the FAA, there is a preliminary permitting process that you go through, and just to identify whether or not we will have to do further permitting, and it does not meet the height of these towers and the distance to the airport does not meet those requirements for those types of items.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for the applicant?
Nope.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Is there anyone here that, there's no one on the list to testify. Is there anyone here that would like to testify? No, you can't ask a question from there. You need to come up here. You need to come up. Okay. Anyone else? With that, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing.
So, yeah, as far as the FAA is concerned, I mean, this is a 50-foot tall tower. 30 miles away from Boise, 25 miles away from Boise as the crow flies. So that there's no issue there. Doesn't need to be lit. I mean, the worst thing that's going to run into it is a drone. And that's more of a detriment to the drone owner than anybody else.
Any further discussion?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then I'll stand for a motion.
I recommend we approve case number 2311 SUP special use permit Meta Communication Towers.
Seconded.
Just a clarification. I need a formal motion stating that it's approved, not recommended approval, right, as we're the decision making body.
Okay. I move. Can I just redo it?
Yes, ma'am.
I move we approve case number 2311 SUP special use permit Meta Communication Towers.
Thank you.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Thank you. With that, we'll move on to case numbers 20-03ZC rezone, 20-06S preliminary plat, and 20-14DR design review for Ledgestone Plaza subdivision.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Troy B. Hunan, Senior Planner, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. So the applications before you this evening is a request for a rezone, a preliminary plat, and a design review, and the pre-plat and the rezone is a recommendation to the City Council, while the design review is a decision by you folks this evening. They are requesting a rezone from C1 to C3, R6 and R12, and to subdivide the property, the 76 acres, into 269 lots total, which is 233 single family homes, 8 multifamily lots. Lots for multifamily, and then 22 common lots, as well as 6 commercial lots. The Ledgestone Plaza project actually was originally presented to the commission in December of 2020. After the commission recommended approval of the application to the City Council, and prior to being heard by City Council, a sewer service deficit was discovered by the city and also the developer, and the developer decided that they wanted to wait until the 2023 Danskin sewer lift station upgrade was completed before taking this to council. The sewer upgrade project has been completed, and now there is additional sewer EDUs available for use. And the staff, planning and zoning staff, decided that the best thing to do would be to bring this back to the commission and at least hold a formal public hearing because of the time lapse in between the original application and this one. But the upgrades to the sewer system are now complete, and there's capacity to serve this subdivision according to the engineer's memo, public works that they issued. The applicant is proposing approximately 18.81 acres, or nearly 25% of the project as open space. 10.46 of that will be usable open space. The gross density is proposed to be 7.3 project-wide. That is for the entire project, including all of the open space. Public Works does state that they can support approval of the application, and they will be able to provide a limited QLPE, which is a will serve letter, for up to 40 units per phase for the Redstone Plaza. Planning and zoning staff does agree with the Public Works assessment, and we recommend that this body recommend approval. Staff has reviewed the proposed rezone and the preliminary plat for technical compliance with CUNA City Code and State Code and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, and also the design review with CUNA City Code. And should the commission recommend approval of the rezone and the preliminary plat, and if the commission should decide to approve the design review for this project, staff recommends the applicant be subject to the conditions listed in the staff report and the proposed recommended conditions of approval. And with that, I will take a seat, and I'm here for any questions that you might have. The applicant is here tonight, and there is a presentation by the applicant to be made.
Thank you, Troy. Any questions for Troy?
The only question I have at this point is, this particular lift station, is this separate than the other issue that we've been dealing with on 10 Mile on that side of town? Or is that the same lift station?
It's the same one.
Okay.
But that's a very good question. It's complete, it's in the ground, and it's functioning from what we understand.
Okay. And it has capacity, clearly. Okay.
Thank you, Troy. Could I take a break for a minute and ask Jessica to come over here and offer some technical advice? I guess I closed it. I can't find it now.
My biggest issue is the PDF reader is just terrible. And then in Edge. I like Active.
Thank you. Typically, my granddaughter is my tech person. Okay, so is the applicant present?
Good evening, commissioners. My name is David Bailey. I'm with Bailey Engineering, representing the applicant Trilogy Development. My office address is 1119 East State Street in Eagle. Thanks, Troy, for the report on that. And I'm the second string on the planning on this. Jane Suggs, who presented it to the Planning Commission the first time, has since retired, and so she's will be taking over. I'm here with Katie Miller from our office as well tonight. So as Troy said, this Ledgestone Plaza was brought before the Planning and Zoning Commission in October and approved in October of 2020. So let me go ahead and flip whoever's running that. Did I do it here? Oh, look at that. This Ledgestone Plaza is the third of developments in this area, the first one being Ledgestone Subdivision, which is enters off of Hubbard Road and goes over to Locust Grove to the east. I think it's Locust Grove, isn't it? To the east, east of the project here. And then Ledgestone, and that project has, as I understand, that we're actually breaking ground on phase four here now. So the first three phases are built and the homes are being built in there. Same developer. Ledgestone South preliminary had come in actually before the Ledgestone Plaza was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission, got the City Council, and we had the problems with the sewer issues on that, and we had some other discussions on, and it was, I'm not sure if it was denied or withdrawn at City Council, but it was done at that point. We do intend, now that things are resolved, and to bring that back in, because all of these pieces work together in the long run for the city infrastructure and the project along here. This Ledgestone Plaza is, as Troy said, 76 acres, and it was a little different in that it's actually already within the city limits and zoned as commercial, and has been for some 6 or 7 years. Yeah. So prior to the previous application, it was already annexed in there. This is also in a mixed-use comprehensive plan overlay area. So with this project, the other piece that goes with this is that Ardell is one of the city's mid-mile collectors that continues from the west all the way through. We'll continue through this. We'll continue through Ledgestone South preliminary and all the way out to out to Locust Grove, so it's well within the city's transportation plan. Provides an access at a previously planned point along Meridian Road. The layout of the project is intended to meet the intent of the mixed use comprehensive plan designation, and so we do have a wide variety of housing types in here. We have some much larger lots and some smaller. Narrower lots that are adjacent to the park and adjacent to the Collector Street, a section of apartment that'll provide a buffer between the commercial and the busy Meridian Road, and the remainder of the project, and then a transition to the lower density development that's to the east will probably be to the north of this. Some of that'll be commercial and residential also per the comp plan, and to the south of this, which is already in to the south. This also provides a mid-mile collector on the east boundary of this, which is Strobel, I think it's called, which will connect Hubbard Road through the mid-mile collector all the way to the south. Portion of that was built with Ledgestone Subdivision. The first one, the additional portion, will be built with Ledgestone South, the preliminary, and with Plaza here. So as far as street connections and transportation plan fulfillment for the city. In addition, the city's indicated that not only do we need to bring water and pressure irrigation across Meridian Road, but it needs to be done within the first phase of the project, which is a condition of approval here. So we'll be getting that over, tying in those systems, and providing the adequate pressure irrigation and water pressure that's required. That, as you know, there's a lot of development on this side of the road with Greg Johnson's project to the east and north of this, Patagonia. And then this development and more development going to the south here. So, again, the larger size lots. Let's see what I got next here. I get to do it. That's right. I'll figure this out. So here's a cutout of there, and we went over the details on there. We are requesting a rezone the C1 neighborhood commercial to a C3 for the service commercial along Meridian Road directly, R12 for the apartments, and then R6 for the remainder of the project on this. Number of units, as Troy stated on there. And the amenities we have on here, as I said, almost 25% of the site is dedicated in open space. We've made it a concerted effort to make sure that we have the pedestrian circulation across the entire site and to the north and south here, wide areas to provide that. A significant centralized park area that's in the middle of the project with significant amenities that is over 5 acres in size, and generates here great frontage on the roads, several spots, so it's not a hideaway park. It's very visible to the police and fire department. It should make an excellent community there. In addition, there is a gathering space, a clubhouse and pool, and open area provided within the apartment area as well, and plentiful landscaping through there. We've met the parking requirements of your code for the multifamily, the commercial, and the single family on this project. walking paths, yeah. And we've been asked, one of the conditions is that we add a pathway north to south through the middle of this block to tie this in here, and we want to comply with that. We're in agreement with all of the conditions, the staff conditions on this. Preliminary phasing plan, as you heard, the first phase will have to be actually 40 lots, so there'll be some come out of this. It showed, I think, 58 in this, but it will start in this northeast corner here. We are required to do some update in the traffic study and analysis, specifically of the intersection of Hubbard Road and Locust Grove after the 226th lot by ACHD. Back to ACHD, they did a very comprehensive staff report on this. We did the traffic study and had all the numbers on that, and they had the conditions on there. We did resubmit that to ACHD and got a letter from them saying these conditions still stand on there. I think there's only a couple little outstanding items on four streets that will need to have traffic calming measures designed per their standards prior to the final plat being signed by them within those areas. So they're a matter of bulb outs that'll be put on these streets to meet their requirements. And we are in agreement with the conditions of Ada County Highway District. And as I said, they're rather extensive. It includes 3/4 mile of Collector Street to be constructed, plus this collector within the project, and then offsite improvements as well, you know, to be considered paid for. As a preliminary timing estimate, looking in here, as we were to move through approval, we could be building the first phase of the site in 2024. Construction of homes starts, you know, within 8 months to a year after that. Phase two in 2025, and possibly start phase three in 2026. I think this is a little optimistic. And then this gets us to the point where we need to update the traffic study. None of the apartments or the commercial has been done to this point, but all of the residential is complete. Of course, if there's a demand for that commercial in advance, then that part of the project will already have services to it and could be moved to bring that up. And I know it's important to the city to maintain that availability of the commercial space when it's needed, and that we have that preserved. Now, again, an eight year build out on the project. And again, that's optimistic. These are the street elevations of some of the buildings that be shown on the project and as part of the design review application. We do have some single story and multifamily, or excuse me, not multifamily, single story and two story homes on this project. Oh, that went through pretty quick. Let's see if I missed anything on here. And we do have a review and an approval for the access, which to Meridian Road from Idaho Transportation Department. In that, the traffic study indicated that this would probably create a warrant for a turn lane at Hubbard Road north of the project from Meridian Road into the project. This intersection here, and it'll be continued in from the west side too. In fact, I don't know if it's already there or it's close anyways. So Ardell comes in the west side there. Their plan is in the long term to make those right in, right out, and a left in. So from the north, you would be able to go left in into the project. I'm out of time. So, but there is an amount in there that the developer would pay to ITD and or to the city, depending on the agreement, in order to make sure they pay their proportionate share of that turn lane from Meridian Road to Hubbard Road. That's all I have, and I'd be glad to stand for any questions you might have.
Any questions for the applicant at this time?
Yeah, just to clarify, so on the west side of the commercial, will there be opportunities for access off of Meridian Road?
There are not.
Okay. No. So it will be the single point of access off of north of Stego? I can't read that. Okay.
So the only access off of Meridian Road is Ardell, correct?
That's correct. The only access from Meridian Road is Ardell. If I could add one more quick point, and I think they're here to discuss this tonight, but on the schools, we had been working with the city on with the school district on Ledgestone South for a school site on this project, and then it ended up being, I think, the Patagonia project or Greg Johnson's project to the east is where they chose. So, and Ledgestone South being off the table, we never did have a discussion about a school, you know, within this site here. It's just not where they looked. The developer, you know, who owns the project has actually negotiated with schools since then for another school site in a different project in CUNA with the school district. And then this was submitted to the school district for review, and we heard from them to our previous planner on Monday that they had some questions on this. So I'm guessing that we're going to reopen the discussion on the school site in Ledgestone Plaza, you know, or in Ledgestone South when we get there. I don't know where the developers stand on how that is, but they've been cooperative as we go along. But I don't think that specifically affects this project, you know, that's before you tonight. So, but we're glad to hear that and work with the school district as we go along. I know they're making good progress, and we appreciate that. Thank you.
All right.
Any other questions?
I guess I do have one more question just to clarify. So ACHD is requiring you to do half of Strobel all the way to Hubbard? So there'll be, is there going to be immediate access off Strobel to Hubbard to the north?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. So with that, we'll go ahead and open the public testimony at 7:03. And we have Robert Truax down, but he's opting not to testify. Would you like to testify? Go ahead and give us your name and address, please.
My name is Robert Truax. I live at 1888 East Rodeo Lane, CUNA, Idaho. The only question I have is, maybe I missed it in the presentation. When would you be putting in Ardell Street?
We'll go ahead and ask the question. The applicant will come back after you're done and address any items you have.
Okay, that was basically my question. We have the property south, just adjacent to the property in question here that's going on. So my question was, when would Ardell Street be put in, or would Stoddard be put in prior to Ardell?
Okay, we'll have him address that when he comes back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Looks like we have Robbie Reno.
Yeah, Robbie Reno, CUNA School District, 711 East 1st Street, CUNA, Idaho. Yeah, the applicant's right. We work with Jane Suggs a lot, and in the transition of Dave Reinhart and me and Danielle, this one kind of got lost and confused with Ledgestone South and the site there. But we are working with that developer, and he's very collaborative with that. And so we're just giving you an update as far as that and as far as this project moving forward. We're in discussions next week with them. And just a reminder for the record that our bond did not pass in March, and we have places to build a school and to alleviate capacity, but we can't until that bond passes. And we really appreciate the commercial that they bring to help take the burden of taxes off the homeowners. So, thanks Sam for any questions.
Any questions? Okay, would the applicant like to respond to any of those?
Yes, sir. Mr. Commissioner, David Bailey again. So the phasing plan that we have now has the access to our Ardell connection to Meridian Road shows in the phasing plan wouldn't happen until phase six would go in there. The traffic's not going to let that happen. It's going to have to happen prior to that, and ACHD, you know, will pick the time that they do that, you know, that they require that to connect. So as of right now, it wouldn't connect till then, but we will be bringing water and PI across and you know, grading out that section of the road, you know, in advance of that. as far as, you know, when we're going to actually open that. Per our phasing plan, that would be in 2020. Is that what we had on there? Yeah, 2029 per our phasing plan. That would be for sure open by that point.
Any questions for the applicant? I have a few questions.
Yes, sir.
So phase one is in the northeast corner of the site. And how do you plan on accessing phase one?
The phase one access will be via Strobel, which is, I think, constructed north and south of this. So through Ledgestone that goes out to there, and then to the south that goes down to the other development to the south, right?
Thanks, Roy.
Go ahead.
Katie Miller, Bailey Engineering, 1119 East State Street, Eagle, Idaho. What I was just saying is that currently the improvements on Strobel do go from Hubbard Road down to the south boundary of, let me just pull up, I'm a picture person. So it currently goes to the south boundary of the Ledgestone subdivision. So what you'll see when we get there is that there's a small portion of frontage that would be considered improvements for the Ledgestone South project in the future, and then we, with the Ledgestone Plaza, would come in. So that connection would need to be made, and we would need to bring Strobel down to get our entrance in for phase one there, as well as have a secondary emergency access for Ledgestone Plaza phase one, because we're going to be up 40 units. And phase two is down to the south, and so that would make that connection on Ardell.
This is constructed now.
Correct.
This and the frontage wherever phase one goes down to would have to be connected here. There'd be a full collector street to provide access to this point here. And then we'd be bringing water. I don't know where this is exactly to the south, but this Strobel Street is built up from
it is
the south, and the water line already comes up this path, so there's already an easement and a road there. And of course, that any of those accesses would have to be approved by the fire department to make sure that you have adequate access.
Right. So you're going to do a full street, a full collector profile on the entire length of Strobel.
It's a half plus 12, okay. is what it would be, and then it would be the other side would get built with Ledgestone South. So I'm imagining that'd be done. So the original build would be probably a half plus 12, which is what we have to the north here. But that's a full collector for the fire department's take on it. There's a full lane on that side, and then the lane plus all the stuff on this side.
Okay.
Real quick, is the portion of Strobel essentially from Ardell South on anybody's radar at this point? Because that's currently unimproved is what I'm seeing, up to the entry of whatever subdivision there is down there off of Deer Flat.
From this point south?
Yes.
Here.
So... Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I can touch on that if you'd like. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. So the way it's oriented, you would have the proposed Ledgestone Plaza. Directly south of that is La Garnetera North, which has an approved preliminary plat. They're currently going through the final plat process. That portion of Strobel will be completed when they go through that. And then right below that is the La Garnetera subdivision, which is just north of Deer Flat, which has already constructed that portion of Strobel.
Okay, so that completes the puzzle, so we will have full access from Hubbard all the way down to Deer Flat. Cool. All right.
Thank you. So, go ahead.
That's my big concern there.
Another question. So the intersection of Ardell and Highway 69. So right now, I think the ITD is looking at that as a full access into Ardell, into your subdivision. But across the street, we've got a right-in, right-out only in the Lee Country subdivision. So I'm just kind of wondering how a full access works on the east side of the road and a right-in, right-out works on the west side of the road. And how do you build? Well, you said you're going to build Ardell as part of Phase 6, correct?
Correct.
I would assume at that time it may already be decided with what they do at Lee Country Sub, because that may have an effect on your project, I would think. So I guess that's not a real issue at this point, but probably something you want to keep on the radar.
And we do, and the way it works with that, our transportation department, is they said that this will ultimately be a right-in, right-out, and left-in from the north intersection, and then Lee Country would be the same thing, right-in, right-out, and maybe or maybe not left-in from the south on that. But the details of that and what we actually have to build come to the time when we pull the permit and dig it, and they decide we're right-in, right-out, and that's what we get to build. They reserve the right to remove any of those and just control their highway. So we'll build it to their rules, you know, when we get there. They said at the time of their report that they could allow it to open as a full intersection, but that they would remove that when they needed to.
All right. One thing that concerns me was the fire department didn't really provide comments on this project. And just looking at it on, what are the, North Oswego Avenue, the cul-de-sac up there, that, to me, that doesn't look like that's an adequate turnaround for emergency vehicles.
So the cul-de-sac at the end of there is designed to the fire department's requirements on that end. And then there are several accesses into the apartments that come off of there. They're essentially roads, you know, T roads that they could turn around in also, and it provides access to those. So there's full, you know, loop access through there, even though they're through the fire lane drives of the apartment project. I don't know that I have seen the specific comments from the fire department either, but they get four more bites at the apple on this every time we submit a set of plans. But we'd be certainly willing to comply with any comments that they have. Did I miss
anything on that? Okay. So is there any, is Ledgestone, does that move to the north of this project? So will there be a development in the northern parcel there?
In this, we do not, this developer does not, to my knowledge, have control of that parcel.
Okay. I was just wondering if North Estega would eventually go through to Hubbard.
Yeah, there are some houses here, and so part of this was to provide that access, you know, to that parcel so that could happen. I think you got to get back. This one here is shown at 660 feet back from the intersection, mm-hmm. So they would have to do the same, and that would have to be at least 660 feet back on Hubbard. But I would suspect that backage road, they call them, for the commercial properties would definitely be, you know, constructed to go through in some manner. It may not be a straight shot through. But.
Thank you. And one last thing on the design review portion of it. You had examples of your single-family units, but you didn't have any examples of your R12 units. And I was wondering if you had any information on what those R12 units would be.
So they're shown on the plan similar to a product that's under construction, actually built in Meridian right now, on the looks of those. I think it would probably be appropriate, and I don't know what we're doing on the Linder project, but it would be appropriate for us to rerun the design review on those when they come in with final design. I think we'd be appropriate condition that we'd have on that.
For the record, Troy Buchanan, that's actually a good question. The applicant was prepared they asked this afternoon if they could show a thumb drive of them. I recommended no, because that's not the decision tonight. They will have to come back for design review at the time of when they want to build those. Tonight it's just about the zoning request.
So we don't have a design review tonight?
Design review for the landscaping, yes, you okay. do, but not design review for the buildings. Okay. The buildings must come back to this body for a decision when they want to move forward with design review. It would be improperly timed to do it tonight because there's so much that have to happen between tonight, City Council's decision on the project, and then if it does get approved, they only have 1 year to begin construction on the design review elements for those buildings. So it would be premature to ask for design review approval tonight on the buildings.
Thank you. Any other questions for the applicant?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So did we close the public hearing already?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to take notes and do all the things over here.
Well, you should be sitting here.
I can't. Yes, if all testimony is complete, you've asked your questions, you can close the public hearing and proceed into deliberation.
Thank you. And we'll go ahead and close the public testimony at 7:17. Any discussion between us?
I don't believe so. I mean, I like the transition. I believe it's very appropriate to have the commercial, lighter commercial up against Meridian Road. It transitions through the higher density product and is matching the neighborhoods to the east. What else do you want to do on Meridian Road? I think it's appropriate for the area.
I agree. I like the layout. Big park. So
yeah, I think that this is one of the nicest open area parks that I've seen for a while.
It'll be a benefit to the community. Okay.
Well, I guess with that, I'd stand for a motion.
All right, so two pieces to this puzzle here. All right, Mr. Chairman, I recommend for approval case numbers 20-03ZC rezone. No, I'm sorry, am I on the right one? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I am.
Sir.
Recommend for approval case numbers 20-03-ZC rezone, 2006-S preliminary plat for... Yes, I recommend those two cases for approval.
Correct. I second it.
You second that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I... What's the phraseology? I apologize.
Move you approve.
Move to approve case number 20-14-DR for Trilogy Development.
Ledgestone.
I'm sorry.
Ledgestone.
For Ledgestone. Yes.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion pass.
Sorry, English is hard.
Well, I think that concludes our public hearing for tonight. So with that,
I move that we adjourn.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. How you doing, Dave?
Good.
I haven't seen you for a while. Yeah.